Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your choice for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I'm joined today by Terry and Dave from of Falcon Blues, but also of something different. There's been a merger.
Old Falcon Blues is what we're effectively calling us.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
It is. grand old team. If you've ever been on the internet and you're an Everton supporter, you know what grand old team is. If you want to go there and lurk, that's all the best Everton arguments on the forum. I go for the forum because honestly, it's hilarious and there's really, really good comedy on there, but also some smart people who know Everton and know the sport. So it's a cool place. But yeah, there's been a merger.
Yeah.
So Dave, how are you liking the merger so far?
It's been great. It all started really from Paul, who obviously I record with, is mates with Danny, who runs the Grand Old Team. They've been friends for a long time. And they just felt like their content wasn't getting out as much as it should do. You know, they do their after-game stuff with Adam. They had the podcast, which was really good as well. But it just felt like there wasn't enough content through the week for them. So being friends with Paul, Danny's asked us to come along and join up, and we were more than happy because what that does for us, that increases our reach. You know, we're still mm-hmm. relatively new, still only like a year or so old, still 600-700 followers. With moving into Grand Old Team, we've done that nearly 10 times the amount, so it's really good. That's given us that opportunity to do a lot more. You know, we've done more stuff in the week, we've started to do more live stuff. And we're doing stuff with Adam as well in the week, which is, match days, which we're enjoying. You know, it almost gives us a bit of a new lease of life because Paul and I were getting a little bit stuck in a rut. Like, we'll record if we can be asked, which has been our thing always from the start. We'll record if we want to, and we'll record if we feel like it. Now it's like, well, if we record, you know, we'll get views, we'll get comments, we'll get people talking about it, which is what we've wanted from the beginning, really. And, you know, we've only been dealing with it about 3 weeks together. Been great. Been really good. You know, loads of talking between us, and you know, there's all loads more stuff to come, which is, you know, can only benefit everyone.
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's always really good to, I think the more of the channels that are out there, the more Everton content that's getting out there, it can only be better for the club.
Yeah.
You know, it's generating more conversation and connecting. That's the cool thing. So the idea of just connecting, and we're all, some of us are from around the world, and some of y'all are, you're in the same, you know, time zone, zip code and whatnot. So, but anyway, thanks so much, Dave, for coming on. Always, always awesome to talk to you.
Yeah,
so we decided to, as a little intro for the pod here, we're going to talk about whether the weekend was ruined by Friday Night Football. Which is has a little different definition where I'm from, but it was not a fun viewing experience. Terry, I saw you post on Twitter, you know, using phrases that are not used here in North Carolina much, but I want to push it and make it happen. People need to be talking about their piss being boiled more often, and I'm just saying, Terry just. Sometimes Terry has no problem just being super honest on the Twitters, and I gotta love it. I saw it, and I'm like, yes, Terry, yes. So, Terry, did it ruin your full weekend, or did it stop short of Sunday?
No, not the whole weekend. It certainly ruined the Friday night and the Saturday morning. But then I did the old Jerry classic and cleaned my way out of frustration on the Saturday afternoon. Got all the housework done and sort of got rid of all that energy. And then about Saturday night and beyond, I've been okay. And to be honest, some of the other results of it have helped along the way. You know, seeing you know, the way Man United lost, was quite, you know, it took a bit of the sting out, going, oh, that must be even worse, you know. And some of the other teams who were, you know, up there and, you know, in and around the top six, they didn't win either. So it doesn't change my thoughts on our game, but it puts her a little bit more perspective, and I don't feel as bad now.
Oh yeah, after Spurs, I've been telling, you know, Bennett, my 7-year-old, he left to go hang out with my parents, and I said, "Don't worry, Spurs are gonna crush this. You know, it won't even be competitive." He comes home, he's like, "What is the score?" And I'm like, "Well, it actually looks like Newcastle's winning 1-0. It looks like they're gonna win." no, they're not. You know, he was just, I was like, yes, I look like an idiot. Yes, that's why you never predict Premier League stuff, especially if it's not your team. Never, ever. It was just, yeah. So I was, one of my buddies is a Spurs supporter, and he had been giving me flack about Friday. I'm like, wow, you guys lost at home, didn't you? The brand new stadium, yeah. So it was nice to be able to throw it at somebody else because I'm so used to catching it from everybody else. It messed up my. I will say, Friday evening, Saturday, because it was rainy here. That my kids weren't playing any games because everything was rained out. But then Sunday, I got to watch my kid play more, and he had a good one. So I felt better. Dave, I think you mentioned that you were okay same day.
I was over it. I mean, the good thing about this merger with the Grand Old team now is we've started doing live chats, and we did what we decided. I missed the first half because I was trying to put a three-year-old to bed. So I wasn't in the best of moods anyway once the second half started. So we done a pre-match, which was great. It all went through fine. Then I had to put my little girl to bed. That was just a nightmare. So second half, I'm like, right, can't get any worse. It did. So I thought, right, we're going to have to go live now and just get everyone on board and just let everyone vent. It was almost like therapy, live therapy. It was amazing. And then by 11 o'clock, by the time we finished the live recording, I was like, I'm over this. Everyone's vented. I've had a vent for a good hour, which I would normally do in the pub anyway. And, you know, I was like, and in the words of Teddy, I will not let this boil my piss any further. I just couldn't let it happen. I've been off. I was off Friday as well, so I wanted a nice four day weekend, and like, no, you are not ruining my weekend ever, not at all. So I was over it by 11 o'clock. I got up Saturday morning and felt like, yeah, fine. I look on Twitter and I was like, I'm logging off for the day. I'm just avoiding Twitter, any social media, because Everton fans are just not happy at all today. So
Twitter was a wasteland.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It was festering on Saturday, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah.
I had to avoid it myself, which is not my usual routine. I'm usually live on Twitter, but I couldn't. So I was like, no, I need to not think about this game, not think about it more.
I'd been talking to Toffee Blues John about, you know, I normally don't post a lot of my Everton views on Twitter because I'm really obsessive. I have obsessive tendencies. And so it takes me like a while to craft a tweet, if that makes sense. It's like you write, then you rewrite, then you're like, no, I'm not even going to tweet at all. And then an hour later, okay, I'm going to do it now. No. So I'm trying to become less obsessive, right? And I told John, I'm like, you know what? When the Villa game's over, I'll share some views, whatever, just to see. And when I watched that game, I was like, nope, this is not the one. This is not – this would be the worst one.
Picky battles, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, that is – so, yeah. Hence, not a lot from me on that one, but it'll be coming. So anyway, we've survived. Everybody survived. You know, I'm assuming some Twitter accounts didn't survive when they were being – vicious this weekend, but you know, hey, it happens. All right, this is the way it works. But we're all hanging in there. I do wish I had had some booze Friday night. That'd have been awesome. I did not. I had none left in the house, and I didn't feel like going anywhere. So that sucked. Yeah. From now on, though, just always got some. I love how Dave immediately has a swig. As soon as I mentioned, like, you mean like this, man?
Yeah. And I'm up as well. So if you cut to a break once you finish recording, I can go downstairs and get another one. So I'm okay.
It's beautiful. I'm in my office.
Yeah.
So if there's liquor in there, it's not supposed to be. So let's put it that way. So anyway, we actually need to get to the show here, which, you know, I think it'd be pretty seamless for what we're talking about now anyway, but I'll go ahead and for the pod, give an intro, quick synopsis of what's happening on this show. Starting off with a extra time show, Aston Villa. Talk about the Villa loss. It was, yeah, shit. That's the best way to say it. We'll talk more. We'll say more words than that, though, in just a minute. And then we'll go 4-4-2. We're going to talk about should Everton go 4-4-2. If you were watching, if you're actually watching the game on Friday, you noticed that Marco was like, screw it, let's go 4-4-2. And it happened, it didn't yield anything, but there were some sparks, and I think it gave some people some ideas. some fanciful notions, if you will, about what Everton might do in the future. So we're going to talk about that, and we'll do a quick little discussion of the upcoming Lincoln match. I think it's Wednesday. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we'll do a quiz. All right. Starting 11 quiz, a game from the past. We're gonna flash back and have these guys try to tell me who started and who subbed in one of Everton's games from the. I'll give you a hint. It was from a game before 2010. So, yes.
Steve Watson.
Good luck. All right. I can't count that answer yet, but I'm just saying. All right. So no clues, though. No spoilers. All right. So let's talk extra time show. If you were living under a rock, you're lucky. You didn't see it. 2-0 loss to Villa. Everton started off not so bad. Villa pulled off a little kind of a counter. Michael Keane decided he would just watch Wesley cut behind the slice behind the defense, and Wesley put it past Pickford. And it really was crap the whole rest of the way. Really sloppy game. Just an ugly. It's just the worst way. If you're like, hey, I want you to support Everton, watch this game. That was not the game to show people at all. So Dave, let's have you start a little bit. I want to start. Do you have any positives? You got anything positive?
Anything for you? No. There wasn't anything really to take out of that game. Sadly, it was just one of those. Just a shit day at the office. Really, that's all you can really put it down to. It's still players trying to get back up to speed after pre-season and after the close season and everything else. How do you deal with Everton? Sometimes it's amazing, isn't it? You just don't fucking expect from them. That's the worst thing about it. No. But I looked at that game and it was Everton can go top. Jack Grealish hasn't won a Premier League game since he last slashed someone in Peaky Blinders. You know, it was all these weird things that were just a whole mix of like, this is not going to be Everton's day. Everton will not go top, and Jack Grealish, if he plays, winning this game. It was just one of those nights where it was like, yeah, just write Everton off completely. Doesn't matter about we could play well, we'd lose, we could play shit, we lost. It was just a horrible day overall. There was nothing really positive to take out of it. And, you know, hearing the news pre-game that Gbamon was going to be out, it was going even longer. And everyone was going, oh shit, he's going to put Schneiderlin and Gomez back in. And, you know, Calvert-Lewin's up front. It all just seemed to just meld into one big blob of crap in the end, and you couldn't really put a positive on it. So no, sorry.
I have one positive. One. All right. Seamus Coleman taking that free kick and taking out Trezeguet's legs.
That's about it. Why?
That was nice.
I just don't get that at all.
He got carded. I get Trezeguet maybe being carded. He was right in front of him, but they carded Coleman too. And what did he do? Played football.
Yeah.
He played the game. That was
more from that though, more snide like that. I'm all up for that, definitely.
Yeah. Terry, I'm gonna give you the tasty choice, the tasty pick of talking about who struggled the most.
I think Dave got it in one there. It was just such a bad day at the office. There was good players playing terribly, and Andre Gomez is a baller who is key to our team, but he was having an atrocious night. Honestly, he probably couldn't find team bus to go home. He was just, everything was going wrong for him. He was putting it out of play. He was misplacing passes. The one thing I'll give to him, though, is he didn't hide. He wanted the ball all the time, but he was coming too deep. He had Schneiderlin going beyond him, and it's like, that's not your role, but I don't know. I mean, I think Michael Keane had a bad game as well. He let that Wesley bully him all game. I think Sigurdsson once again had a very good game. He was just anonymous for, you know, you need him in games like that to stand up and do something and you know make a difference. And he may as well not been on the pitch. Calvert-Lewin wasn't great. I mean, I'm not one of the people who's super anti Calvert-Lewin, but how could you argue with any of the people who are after, you know, missing, you know, that chance? I mean, it's always harsh to take a still frame of anything in a football match, but it's doesn't do him any favours, that still frame that went around Twitter where he's got like the whole half of the goal to hit it at, and he hits it right at where the players are. Yeah, I mean, if you could pick one performance which was worse than the rest, it probably would be, unfortunately, Andre Gomes, but we'll see. Like, he's obviously he's got big job on his hands now with Gbamon's injury. He's going to have to be the main man in midfield, which, you know, he already was creatively, but you know, he's going to probably have a rotating cast of characters next to him for the couple of months of the season. You know, it's up to the other players to establish themselves next to Gomes now. There's no chance he's not going to play with Gbamon injured.
So I got a couple more talking points I want to hit. One of them you started to get into was DCL, and that was my next gift to Dave, was to be able to talk about DCL next. It's been really... I think it's been the most popular talking point that where you see on social media, people just really laying into DCL. How much do you feel like that is warranted, Dave, and how much is overreaction? Is it just normal, justified reaction? How are you feeling about that?
He's a good player. I just don't think he's a striker. I think that's how I'm looking at it now. You know, he's got plenty of work rate in him. Loads of running, loads of tackling, loads of, you know, winning aerial challenges and stuff like that. Lad just couldn't hit the barn door with a banjo, unfortunately. And I just don't think, if he's not doing it now, he's not going to do it. You know, I was looking on Twitter and they're going, oh, we've got to give him more time, Why not give Cenk Tosun this time as well? You know, if a player, it was it 10, 11 games since he scored, or more, is it? Something like that, since he scored a goal. You know, if someone like Cenk Tosun is given that time and given those appearances rather than coming from the bench and, you know, trying to find his foot in the game. Calvert-Lewin, yeah, for all his work rate, brilliant, but if his job is a striker and he's not putting the ball in the net, you've got cause for concerns. You know, he's now got Keane breathing down his neck, who in the last couple of games seems to have put more in the final third than Calvert-Lewin has in quite some time. That my opinion, obviously. Tosun is probably ready to come back into training. I think give Tosun even a chance now, and probably going on to what you're talking to later on about the 4-4-2 and stuff like that. Does that help Calvert-Lewin? Does that hinder him? We don't know. But I think a lot of it is overreacting. I think because of how badly we were on Saturday. On Friday. Pre-Watford, you know, we got the results. We played so-so, and everyone was happy and just said, oh yeah, everyone did well. Everyone was going, Gomes had a stormer and things like this. I think with Calvert-Lewin, though, I think he probably needs maybe a bit of time away from the side. Maybe not completely dropped, but put on the bench for the period and giving someone else a go. You know, if strange things have happened, he might make himself more of an impact sub for the period.
Yeah, I think we could see that coming up as soon as Silva feels like. I think Keane's fitness is up to par. I think we might see that. I agree. I think some of it's harsh, the stuff that's being said about DCL. I think it's harsh. We're not talking about a 17 or 18-year-old, though. He's older than that.
Yeah.
You know, there are very good quality players who are putting the ball in the net with regularity, who are his age and even younger. It does appear at this point that he does have kind of, I don't know if it's the equivalent of writer's block. You know what I mean? It's like he's got something blocking up and preventing it. I've always said, give him time. It's going to come. But a miss like that is pretty indefensible. I can't defend that. I mean, he had the whole left side of the goal. The whole left side of the goal. You know, my 7-year-old again was playing around with our friend's phone, watching highlights of the game instead of eating dinner at a pizza restaurant. He's watching Everton highlights, and I hear him just going, "Oh, DCL, how could you miss that? Oh my gosh!" You know, and he's and I'm just like, "I know, man.
Yeah,
I know." I was like, "Stop it, though." Stop talking about it. He's right, but I'm equally, and what I feel like deserves equal attention is our inability to create chances, to create more chances than this. That's what I feel like is not getting the Twitter hate. And it's not getting the social media hate. Nobody's out there saying, hey, look, we sat there and pushed it up the flanks all game long and sat there and just bombed balls in and, you know, didn't really try to go anywhere other than the sides till later on in the game. It was just really predictable. And we're just not creating enough chances. And if DCL has one clean look on goal, it would be a perfect world. He cleans up on that and he takes care of that. But we got to be creating more than that. You know, I mean, our center mids are letting us down big time right now when it comes to creation, you know?
I think Central's couple of players was just a mess, like Schneiderlin and Gomez and Sigurdsson. Just didn't know where they were all meant to be. And you know, credit where it's due. You were saying nobody picked up on how predictable the play was. El Pavote, Andy, he was saying that like on Twitter.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was going every single time we get the ball, it's just going out wide and being crossed in. And it's dead predictable, dead easy to defend against. But that was honestly, the middle sort of trio was so messed up and was so disjointed that they couldn't really do anything else. And it was... This is what frustrated, I think, supporters the most, because Villa weren't even that good. Villa didn't play well. They just literally made the most of the one or two chances they got. And Everton just, you know, missed two sitters and hit the post and just, you know, made things difficult for themselves. And that's what I mean. If you get beat by a good team or a team that's ruthless, then whatever. But Aston Villa weren't even that good. Everton were just endeavouring to be worse. We just need to sort it out. We need tactically that needs to, you know, need to change. We can't just go down the flanks every single time because it's people are getting wise to it. Teams are studying us and just going, well, if you let them cross and just mop it up, you know, they've only got one striker in the box anyway. So DCL's not going to beat three people who is in the box against them with Sigurdsson coming in late. It's just not going to happen.
I think I was just going to say then. I think Calvert-Lewin needs to be a bit more selfish. He's doing a lot of work that midfielders should really be doing as well. You know, he's coming deep, he's winning the ball, he's laying it off, and then he's moving. I think he should just be thinking, right, okay, I'm going to be a striker for a bit. I'm just going to go along. I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait for the opportunity. I'm going to let you do the work because the midfield should be doing that. I know what you're saying about, you know, a lot of midfielders actually gone missing, but then that's because Calvert-Lewin is mopping up for them. You know, if Calvert-Lewin is being and not being in that position, then it's like, well, hang on, we'll actually have to do some work here and, you know, get Amy paycheck for the change, you know.
And it's also the fact that Sigurdsson is not dropping very deep at all either. You know what I mean? He may be, what you're talking about mopping up, he may be literally be mopping up for Sigurdsson because Sigurdsson's approaching that role more as a second striker, right?
Yeah.
So, it's weird because we were talking about last time about how DCL appears to sort of be a system striker. You know, his pressing is good. His hold-up play has gotten awesome. It's really strong, all right? Mm-hmm. His passing is good for the most part. And I've seen people saying that they don't think DCL offers anything. And I got to disagree. I do think he offers some things. But the one thing he needs to be offering is the thing his position should be offering. And there's some players, that's all they do. They touch the ball and it's a goal. Some players, that's how they play that position. So the you were asking earlier, why doesn't Tosin get a run? And I think that the vibe that I've gotten is that DCL fits Silva's mold more of the type of... Because Tosin doesn't have enough speed. Tosin's not fast, you know? But there are times when you need someone who is more of a... I hesitate to say clinical, but it's sort of clinical. A one-touch scorer. And that's what Tosin was known as before he came in to us. God, yeah. Anyway, frustrating. I will say Iwobi looked solid when he came in.
Yeah.
Iwobi looked all right, you know, approaching the game a little differently.
I think he's
going to nice.
He's going to be a good competition for Sigurdsson.
Yeah. Well, when you asked Dave at the beginning about, like, positives from the game, the first thing I thought was Iwobi and Keane, because Iwobi at the post and Keane put it on a plate for Walcott, who did what Walcott does. But those two are immediately, you got to think, yeah, they need to be in the team. Like, above who? Anyone? Take your pick. because the two of them looked completely different. And just on Keane, like, I think no one in the world thought for a second that he wasn't going to come in and replace Calvert-Lewin. I think Calvert-Lewin had this opportunity at the beginning of the season before the international break, whereas, yeah, Keane's come in, but he's really young and he's in a new country, in a new league, and, you know, going to have to adjust, and he's going to have to come off the bench. And if you play well, then you'll keep him on the bench. And Calvert-Lewin, up to now, hasn't really done it. So I don't think there's much chance of him retaining his position once Keane's fit. I think Keane will be the main striker, and Calvert-Lewin will have to start coming off the bench, and then it's on Keane to keep the shirt then, which is what, ideally, you want that in every position, but Calvert-Lewin hasn't used this opportunity where Keane isn't ready to stake his claim. It's not all his fault. He hasn't really had a lot of chances in the first two games, but that gilt edge one, like, yeah, that's why we bought another striker, because we need those goals to be scored. We need that to be put in the left hand side of the goal, and for you to wheel away celebrating.
He puts that ball away. This is a completely different conversation, and that's the worst thing. That's football, such a game of chance. It's like Calvert-Lewin scores that, Walcott scores that. We aren't having this discussion. Do you know what I mean? I think Calvert-Lewin needed that goal. You know, it's so unfortunate, but he needed that goal for his confidence. I think if he'd have scored that, he'd have gone on to score more. He'd probably play on Wednesday. He might not do now at this rate. But, you know, if he'd have put that ball away, it's a different story. Same with Walcott. It's weird.
Yeah, the Walcott one really bugged me. I'm like, how do you not bring that down?
Mm.
You know, that was a really tough ball to handle. You know, how do you not bring that down? And DCL's chance was a lot easier to handle. You know what I mean? So it's just, yeah, those were – the Iwobi shot was nice. And I almost didn't expect him to even put it on frame at all. You know, the way he was kind of slicing through. That was a good
– His movement to Obi was like watching a different team. Like, nobody was like moving like he was. Like, he was moving between the lines. He was, you know, making himself an option. Gomez wasn't finding him either. There was times where Iwobi's making himself available for the pass, and Gomez is just going, "Nah, I'm going to take it out wide, or I'm going to move it to Walcott or Richarlison or whatever." But excuse me, I on a different night, those two subs could have had a goal and an assist. Like, you know, keen for an assist, and it won't be if that goes in off the post. And we're talking again about a completely different game, but just one of those games. Like, it was just like everything before the game, like Dave said, with the, you know, the going top and the, you know, Jack Grealish thing. It's like, yeah, we're not winning this game. I'm just surprised it wasn't worse. I'm surprised not, you know, we didn't get more injuries, because that's just our luck sometimes.
I've been trying so hard not to buy into those streaks when everybody's like, oh, this streak is happening, this means we're gonna lose. I'm trying not to buy into that. I'm trying to think, no, we're bucking all that stuff, we're getting past it. And I didn't pay attention to it this time. I was like, nah, and then it happened. I was like, damn it.
You could have put your
do what?
You could have put your house on it.
I know. And I'm trying not to think like that. I'm trying not to, but it's hard. It's hard when Everton sometimes just proves you, like, that you should be pessimistic.
Yeah.
Like, you should have been. You know, they're just crushing your idealism. That's one loss to Villa at a time. All right. So, anything else on this one, guys?
No. Fuck off,
Everton. Yeah.
Less said, the better. Can we forget
it? It's over the last week. I'm still over it now.
All right. So, Dave mentioned earlier, he mentioned 4-4-2. We are going to do a video segment here in a little bit, or a not just a video segment, a segment here about Everton possibly going 4-4-2 the way they did late in the Villa match. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you've been digging the videos, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. We sincerely appreciate it. If you want more Dave is also rocking the grand old team Falcon Blues merger. So keep an eye out for that. It's a lot of content. So he and Paul are doing a lot of work there. So, yeah. give them views, give them love.
Yeah.
I know you're probably doing it anyway, but whatever. And if you want more Terry, every once in a while he shows up on the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. So check out his wonderful words there. And as always, if you see him in public, big hugs. He's a hugger.
Terry, right. I've seen you on the train a few times on your way into town. I know I have, on the way home, like 5 o'clock after work. If I see you tomorrow, I'm giving you a hug. I am.
Yes.
Yeah. Film it.
I so want this to be a thing.
A Jerry and show, like people are actually hugging me in the street now.
Oh, I'm so excited when my weird little brain children come to life. All right, so that is awesome. All right, so yeah, so I guess that's it. Come on back for the next segment, and we'll be here. So, bye. I'm Jerry, sitting here with Dave from the Falcon Blues / Grand Old Team / I don't know, BuzzFeed, Pornhub. I don't know what else you do, Dave. I feel like you're everywhere. And also, as usual, Terry, for those of you listening, the guy has got on a dazzling fun shirt. Both of these guys are I feel underdressed. All right, Dave's rocking this amazing Columbia shirt I've wanted it for a while, and Terry just looks like he's ready to party. Just saying.
Well, in the farmer's tan.
Oh, that's right.
Or a gnarly farmer's tan, and I've still got the sunglasses on, not on my face, but on my shirt from earlier in the day that I forgot to take off, that Dave's just reminded me, but I'm going to go with it. Consistency between the videos, if I take them off, it'll look like, you know, it's CGI and stuff, that we pipe things in and we don't do that. It's all raw.
I wish we were cutting away from you so that every time we cut back to you, you could have another pair of glasses like pinned on to a different area of your shirt. And then everybody's like, wait. Or start switching your glasses, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
There's a scene in an Alan Partridge special where he's interviewing somebody while he's treading water, and he can't really do it, and he's really struggling. And, like, whenever he asks the questions, it cuts away to him, clearly in a different, like, a different pool, like, speaking normally, standing upright. And then when it cuts back to the answers, he's, like, you can hear him struggling off camera.
I need a lot more Alan Partridge in my life. I've only had a little, and I need a lot more. Everything I've seen, I'm like, holy hell. Huge fan of that, his like World Cup commercial thing that he did. That was a goal. That thing is, me and my wife watch that over and over again.
What's the breakdown thing of how he does the World Cup? Like, each team plays this team, and it's like this spinny cog thing with arrows on it. It's fantastic. Just trying to get past the arrows and everything. Watch it. It's brilliant. The whole thing.
Oh, I'm wanting a lot of that. I need more of that. Damn. And I actually was thinking, but the glasses thing, I thought about Moss in IT Crowd, where he's like, let me put on my slightly larger glasses. talking about, because he's like, if that's a plan, you know, he's trying to hear the new plan. Oh, it's so good. So, all right, enough. This wasn't supposed to be an intro segment. We're just talking. We're making chit-chat. We did a formation segment last week. Terry and I, we talked about what we thought was a likely formation for Everton, for Silva to run, 4-3-3, because it seemed like that's where some of our transfers had been, you know, heading, and that seemed like what was maybe going to happen. And then last match, Silva's like, you know what, we need some goals. Let's go 4-4-2. Which I think, has he done this year already? I feel like he did it in one other game, briefly. I don't know. Anyway, beside the point. Regardless, we ended up with Keane and DCL playing the two. So I guess, guys, the real question is 4-4-2 a realistic possibility from the get-go, like from the outset of a game, or is this one of those that's really just more of a, hey, we need a goal really late, so let's throw another striker up there kind of thing. Dave, you started last time. I'm going to go with Mr. Party, Captain Fiesta. What do you got, Capitan?
I think we sort of are playing it unofficially, because Sigurdsson at the minute is playing so high up the pitch that he's sort of like a second striker, and the wide players have tucked back. So it is like 4-4-2, but with not two orthodox strikers. From the start, and in the traditional sense, like you're referring to with DCL and Moise Kean, that'd be great for both strikers. All strikers usually will benefit from having a partner, you know, because Calvert-Lewin will have someone to, you know, feed the ball to and to run on through balls and flick-ons, and Moise Kean will find more space because there's Calvert-Lewin up alongside him. But I don't think we've got the centre midfield to play that. You need a lot more energy in your centre midfield to cover the ground without after losing the extra man. If we had, for argument's sake, the likes of Gbamon, and if we still had a Trezeguet, like a number six and an energetic tackler, that's the kind of centre mid pair I think would work with a 4-4-2, and then the creativity can just come from out wide or feed into the strikers. But with the players we've got, we need like a sort of midfield unit. You know, Andre Gomez is crucial to how we play because, you know, he recycles the ball. And now with Gbamon injured, we're looking to Schneiderlin, Tom Davies, Fabian Delph to sort of partner him and get something going. Two of that group, I don't think it's going to be enough if there's no other, you know, player in front of them, because when it comes to defending, Andre Gomez is not the best defensively, and, you know, players, midfielders tend to go past them, so you would literally overload the other centre midfielder if you didn't have a number 10 who can tuck back when defending. So I think it's great in theory, but in practice, other teams would exploit our centre midfield position, which wouldn't suit that formation for who we have.
So, way to go, Terry. You blew my main first question, which was, will this work centrally in terms of midfield? Because I was concerned about that. Because I'm totally concerned about that. You said that, and I was just like, you know, because I don't know. But the weird thing is, and I swear I'm not going to talk forever, Dave. You will get on this. But I feel like, you think about DCL and Tosin. There's two strikers, and even Richarlison, three strikers that people have said in the past, hey, they're not solo strikers. They need to play with a second striker. You know what I mean? They need to play with another one up top to help them out. People used to say that all the time about Cenk Tosun when he first came to the league. He needs another player up there. And I've heard something similar with DCL. Think about how good he combines with other players. He's a good passer, gets his head up. That could actually be solid. But yeah, and so it's weird. It's like we have this combination of strikers that could work really well if you interchange them. I mean, you've got about four different ones that could do that. But who's actually behind it, and could we handle it? I feel like we'd be potentially really vulnerable in the middle. Not just me feel, Terry feel. We all feel that is possibly the case. Dave, what are your thoughts on this nonsense?
You said it. It's nonsense. I feel what you were saying. You know, it's a struggle without the. You know, we've left an Idrissa Gueye-sized hole in that midfield, and that's been the problem. I think had Gbamon not been injured, you know, he's straight in against Villa there, and you know, you could potentially have that 4-4-2 kind of formation, but not the whole game. Maybe for the period where we're chasing it. I can't see us playing that for 90 minutes. That I think that'd be physically impossible for us because, as Terry said, you know, the likes of Spurs, the Red Scheif, would completely overrun you in midfield. Pace and, you know, just passing movement from those sides. They just pass themselves out of trouble. And, you know, the ball's gone and then they're on the attack and we're struggling. I think more than anything, it's all about the top two who you're going to play as well. Because I think you're going to need someone. If you're going to play a two like that, you're going to bring it back into a five almost by bringing Richarlison in. So I think if it was going to be a two up front, it would have to be someone who's willing to put in the legs, like Richarlison, who's willing to take a step back and run through the midfield, that kind of thing. But then it just goes back to being a 4-5-1 again. And that's the problem, because we haven't got those legs in the field anymore. If you had Gay, as Teddy pointed out, yet you had Gabamon, brilliant. You know, even against Watford, Gabamon and Gomez linked up really well. You know, plenty of running from Gabamon, plenty of tackling, giving Gomez the feet to make the long runs, make himself available, put into space. But when the ball was coming back, we struggled. You know, look at Dean's bombing on, and he's having to bomb, and he's come straight back again because the ball was just getting lofted over the midfield, and we were isolated. So, without the right players, I don't think it will work at the moment, not with this Everton side.
The last really successful exponent of the 4-4-2, like, who really made it work, was Leicester, in this league at least. It was Leicester's title-winning team, and they played 4-4-2 every week, but who did they have in centre midfield? N'Golo Kanté.
Exactly.
And Danny Drinkwater. Like, you need players with that silly level of energy to play 4-4-2 in this league, because they're going to come up against threes constantly in midfield. And, you know, obviously Kanté is the equaliser in that scenario. You can have, you know, three midfielders versus him on his own. I'm sure he'd do all right. But we haven't got that player. We did have, but obviously we didn't have the strikers at that time. It's just unfortunate that, you know, we've not really had both of the required two, you know, pieces to play it. But no, I don't think 4-4-2 would suit it. The players, the only ones who'd benefit from that are the two strikers you'd play, but the rest of the team would suffer.
Yeah, Toffee Blues John made me, you know, made me. He's forcing me. There's a gun. No, so he's pointed right at me. No, basically, he wanted me to make sure that I mentioned the idea of Richarlison and Keane up front. Richarlison, I think we're not seeing as many goals from Richarlison this season. And he's had some opportunities, especially, you know, with his head. He's put it over every time. But we're talking about a player who does have the legs, like you mentioned, Dave. Richarlison does have that. And it's going to get him closer to the goal. That's the thing. He's having to work really hard to get close enough to get any kind of shot. So it's hard to disagree with you guys, because the players who would benefit are the strikers. It's almost like, are we gonna try to outscore everybody? And I just don't see Silva trying to do that. So he may throw it on there as a tactical shift late in the game if we absolutely need something. But yeah, and I don't even know if that's helping us to. I mean, that still continues to push the creativity out wide. Yeah. So our attacks aren't really going inward very much at that point either. So it's, I don't know. It's, I think we're going to run into a lot of some similar problems depending on who's playing wide for us. That's the key. Who's on the wings. So.
I was just writing it down before while we were talking, and it's a combination of Richarlison and Bernard, Richarlison and Iwobi. Iwobi out on the right with Bernard in that midfield. And then, you know, it's a whole host of who you decide on the attack. Is it Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison? Is it Calvert-Lewin and Keane? Is it Tosin and Calvert-Lewin? You know, it's all about where are you going to lose that pace? Where are you going to win the battle as well?
So essentially what we're saying is we're thinking that 4-4-2, although it's different, it would sort of be like change for the sake of change, you know, and it would put us in some really compromising defensive positions, and some of the exact same situations would potentially rear its head. However, it would be good for some certain players to actually, I do think we'd score more goals. You know, but I think it just creates different problems, as do these guys. Anything else on this, gents?
Don't do it.
I'd like to see 4-3-3 before I saw 4-4-2, because I think we've got more of the players to suit that before 4-4-2. Well, when he goes 4-4-2, Silva goes 4-4-2 in games, it's more of a 4-2-4, and he's really angry that we're losing every time we're... Every time we need to score, he tends to just go, you know what, just put two in midfield and hit the forwards every time. It's like his angry formation.
Additionally, going 4-3-3 from the beginning, you know what I mean? popping 4-3-3 when we're behind it would be an odd decision to make, you know? So, all right. Well, so yeah, these guys hate the idea of going 4-4-2 from the beginning. And I'm just going to go ahead and say I agree with them. I think it's a little too risky. Yeah. But just remember that they hate it. Hate it.
It's on Twitter. Don't start on that.
No.
On my Fourth and Blues chat, you can speak to him. I'll speak to him about that. Not me. I won't answer.
No, that was just me messing around, trying not to take the heat. But yeah, I'll throw my hat in with these guys. I agree with them. All right. This is a pod exclusive segment. We are going to talk a little bit about League Cup match coming up this Wednesday at Lincoln City. The Imps, which I think actually a decent amount of football fans in America know about Lincoln City only because of their the fact that they're the Imps and their logo, their badge, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of great in a very, I designed it and drew it myself kind of way. So the question is, I think our topic of discussion, this is not going to be a legit big preview. I think there's just an overriding conversation that needs to be had about how we approach early League Cup matches, all right? Or FA Cup matches, just cup matches in general. People really want to see our best players play, or some people do, because they want to go ahead and make sure we advance in the cup because they're ready for some silverware. They don't want to see us, you know, lose to some side we really shouldn't be losing to, which happens often in the cup for us, in a lot of the cups, all the cups for us, essentially. So let's start with Dave on this one. Let's talk about what you would prefer, and then let's talk about what you think Silva's going to do. Best players or save them for the league and deal with the consequences?
Full-strength squad. But for me, we're not going to win the league, so let's balls out the bath. We've got to go for a cup. We've got to have a cup run, and we've got to have a cup win. And we've got to get rid of this hoodoo of not winning the league cup. You know, we've got to get this hoodoo of not winning something in 20 odd plus years, which is really pissing everyone off. That team that played on Friday night does not deserve a night off, in my view. And that should be the side that plays to go and redeem themselves.
That is a very it's almost like you work for the club, like you're on the management team, you know what I mean?
Ali cry.
It was very no, I saw them. No. It's like it's like you're tied to the club. You know, if I was coaching, I would be pissed off at that performance. You know what I mean? I always said, no, you don't get a day off. Are you kidding me? So yeah, I understand that.
I can't see Silva doing it though. I think, I was just before we came on to record then, I was reading the Lossell has a knock, but is in contention to start, which yeah. I think is pathetic, really. I don't see the point in giving. If we were playing well in the league, yeah, I'd say give players the break and give the fringe players the benefit and giving them the opportunity. But I just think at this point, it's too early in the season to be saying, okay, well, it is the league, it's the League Cup. We're not going to be too arsed about it. But if we're not going to win the league, then what's the point in being in the league? Playing football, just go. You want to win something, so go and win something as early as possible. So for me, as I said, I don't think any of them should. I think the same 11 should start. Might be in contention for a couple of changes, but nothing that would cause me to start moaning about it. You know, it's like the odd one or two changes and go for it.
Right on. All right, Terry. How are you feeling about this? Same questions for you.
I mean, I agree with Dave. Like we need to attack these cups. We every season, if you're going to win the league or you're going for the league, fair enough. You can play weakened teams in the cups. if you're in Europe and you've got designs on playing well in Europe, you can sort of like rotate in the cups. Or if you've got genuine relegation fears, you can not take the cups seriously because you need to rest. You need to keep your players fresh for the relegation fight. Everton are too good to have any realistic fears about going down. We are not going to win the league. Okay, we've got an outside chance of getting in the European places, but I would rather get in the Europa League through winning a cup. I think winning a cup would be huge for the club. It'd get that monkey off our back. It'd just cure a lot of ills. And it's the same applies to the likes of that sort of cluster of clubs we're in now with Leicester and Wolves and West Ham to a degree. Where it's like, why would you not take these cups seriously? If Everton do well in these cups and go far, we are also good enough to, if we do run into a Chelsea or a Man United or someone like that in the later rounds, we can beat them. This is not like if Southampton go far, they will eventually run into someone good and get put out. We showed last season that when, we can beat Arsenal, we can beat Chelsea, we can beat Man United, we gave Liverpool a game. Sure, when it's not in the league, we'll actually try and beat Man City. But it's just a no-brainer. I do think he'll make some changes because he's always going to. The keeper one, I've got to assume that when you bring in a second-choice keeper, you do say to him right up front on the table, you're going to play in League Cup games because it tends to be a continental model. It's come into this league with continental managers. And like you're the cup keeper, and I don't really like it because we've had bad experiences, especially last year when Stekelenburg was really poor in them. But it's like, it doesn't necessarily mean that we haven't even seen Lazel play. Lossell Lazel, he could have a really good performance, but it seems like it's not taking it seriously by playing his second choice keeper. But he will have probably been told by the manager that the cup games are going to be his to a point. I would change one or two others. I'd keep the bulk of the team. I'd keep a good seven players from the weekend, at least. But I'd probably rest Richarlison because he looks like he needs it. I'd bring a Wobi in for him. Keane I'd start because he's it's as good a chance as any to get your first game against sort of lesser opposition. A little bit eased in, and I'd bring Tom Davies in. I wouldn't risk Delph before the weekend. We're going to need Delph for these league games. I'd bring Tom Davies in. I don't know who for. Sigurdsson maybe for Schneiderlin, but that's about it. I wouldn't go any further. I wouldn't touch the back four. I'd bring Sidibe on later in the game to give him his debut, but I wouldn't start him. I'd bring Baines on later in the game if you wanted to protect Luca Dean, but none of these other fringe players should be starting the game because it invites the opposition to get a big scalp. They go, right, we're going to play second string players who all are well better than Lincoln City players, but they're all not as fresh as Lincoln City players. Sidibe and Baines will not be in their groove the same way they will be. But if you're their players, you're gonna say, I'm going to beat a World Cup winner. I'm going to beat Leighton Baines, who was the best left-back in the country for years. You're inviting the opportunity for the opposition to get the big help because they won't win the Cup. Lincoln never will. But beating us would be like winning a Cup for them because they've beaten a Premier League team. So we need to take it really seriously and go for these cups, because if you win one, we're in Europe, no qualifiers, and it'll be massive for the club to win a trophy after so long.
I think we need to win it just because we're on the telly. That's Everton again. It's televised. The League Cup planners have even put it in. Right, this is going to be a scalp here. That's all. That's the only reason why we're playing live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that.
He fancy a shock. Yeah, they've picked that one out as a potential upset.
So you guys are I got to be honest. Whenever these kinds of games come on, I'm always really conflicted because one of the reasons I asked this question is I'm not completely sure how I feel about it. But hearing you guys argue for playing a lot of the first team players and going with that, it's hard to argue against that. You know what I mean? I think it comes from a lot of it comes from frustration. You know what I mean? Sitting there watching us put up players who normally don't start in these games and we lose because of it. It happens. It's happened before. It's happened often. And I think a lot of us are just sick of it. So yeah, I get that. Do I feel like it may hurt us on the injury front because we're dealing with some injuries already, some problems, our center midfield options? And I mean, yeah, it's not good. We're kind of starting to get a little thin on that. We are. But and I do think this is the time to start Moise Keane. The time to give him his first start. But I agree. I don't think now is the time to mess around with the back four at all. No. You know, Sidibe is going to have to play at some point. Yeah. I mean, he was on the bench last game. But, yeah, guys, I got to side with you. I'm a little concerned that I'm concerned that Silva's going to make more changes than we expect. I sort of think he's going to. But
make four.
I don't know.
He'll probably change the keeper and have three outfields, and I'd be all right with that. I mean, I'd prefer the keeper not to, but I fully expect it to happen. Just, these are a lot of new players as well, and, you know, players who are trying to build up a run and build up an understanding. You don't want to be changing the back four en masse and, like, you know, all the key positions, because you want them to have as many games as possible to, you know, develop that sort of formula. You want Keane and Mina to carry on playing together so, you know, they can iron out mistakes like the other night and, you know, get as familiar with each other as Keane and Zouma were. So yeah. Places you can't help it. We won't have a consistent midfield for a couple of weeks because we're waiting for Delph and what have you. But there's some things you can just leave alone. You can leave the back four alone and just bring on Sidibe later for an introduction. And you can leave, you know, Gomez in the team to get that performance out of his head and so on. But there's some no-brainers. Richarlison, for example, needs to come out and come back in at the weekend, needs that rest. And Iwobi was chomping at the bit. I'd play Iwobi on the right and see how we get done.
That all sounds good. Terry, I'll tell Marco, and we'll make that happen. All right, yeah, because he listens to bearded North Carolinian, and not even real bearded. It's just stubbled North Carolinian. Yeah, he'd listen to me. So I gotta agree with you guys. It's interesting conversation because I don't know. It's one of those where I always feel like a lot of the best conversations don't have like a right or wrong answer, you know, but this one, I think there's a more right answer, if that makes sense. So I trust it to you guys on that. All right. So on with the quiz. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that features Terry facing off against Dave in a cage match of Toffee's Wit and Might. I had to slow it down to make sure I didn't mess that one up. I just felt like I was going to flub it. I knew it. Saw it coming. All right, so if you have never heard one of our quizzes, congratulations, you're about to hear one. Basically, these guys are going to be trying to guess the starting 11. And if it continues, the subs. Actually, no, we'll throw the subs in there too. Yeah, you can guess the subs too. Of a match from the past. All right, so I'll be telling you the match from the past, telling you the score, and then we'll start this like intense quiz music, and we'll go back and forth. Try to work all that out. All right, any questions on this, guys, or is it painfully obvious how this works?
Hang it up.
It's clear.
Awesome. Wonderbar. All right, so actually we need to we'll do the coin toss. I have a very real fake coin here. It's very nice. That's my tails, that's my heads. It's plastic. Yes. So Dave, call it
heads
or tails, sir. He says heads. And it is tails. I apologize. Terry, what do you want? First or second?
Go with second, please.
Second. Okay, so whoever's putting this together, begin intense quiz music. Preferably it needs to match what Dave just said, the way Dave was singing it. So, Dave, so the way this will work, guys, this is a League Cup semifinal, the first leg from January 9th, or 9th of January, 2008. Chelsea 2, Everton 1. Okay? So we'll start with Dave.
Okay.
And yeah, so begin. Who started or subbed in?
Right, I'll go from the back. I'm going to write this down as I'm going along here. So, 2010.
No, it's 2008.
2008, sorry.
Yes.
Nigel Martin? Bad start.
No. No. Nigel Martin was not in there. So, Terry, how do you want to play this?
We'll do it. But I knew the second he said that. We'll try that. We can't have that short a quiz. Come on.
We'll do a mulligan.
Yeah.
All right. Mulligan for Dave. We'll pretend like that didn't happen. We'll go back in time and erase that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Dave.
Goal. Jesus Christ.
There's no goal. He's in 2008.
This isn't good for Dave. This is not a good start. Lee Cup, Ian Turner.
Tim Howard?
Yes. Lee Cup. I'm going back to Lee Cup and playing Weeping Friggin' Sides. All right.
Should we just say I won and we'll just don't try and name the team anyway?
Yeah,
just
call it there, mate. Go on. Terry, go on.
All right, so we're going to say Terry won and we're going to keep going. All right, so...
Well, Terry, you name him.
All right, well, I've done Tim Howard, so Phil Neville.
Phil Neville, yes, he did start. And chime in, Dave, if you want to throw something in there. If you're like, oh, yeah, I know a player from that era, which you do.
I remember that player from that era, yeah. Fuck, now I can't believe that.
No sweat.
Stage nerves. Got the better of me.
It's all right. It's okay.
Getting staged.
There's a reason why I don't actually participate in these quizzes. All right. So, yeah. Dave, you want to throw a name out there for this one, or you want Terry to just keep going?
Distan.
No, Distan.
Oh, Jagiel.
Jagielka did start, yes.
Baines?
No.
I'm going home.
This is amazing. This is insane. All right.
Julian Lescott.
Yes, he started.
I played a Jeopardy tune while I'm doing this. He said Neville Jack.
Howard and Lescott were the ones that have been named so far.
Oh, now listen, this is atrocious, David. left back. Jesus. No, come on, Terry.
I'm going to give you a clue, okay?
Lescott, left back.
Yeah, Lescott was the left back that day, yeah.
No, go on. Fill me in, Teddy.
Joseph Yobo.
Yes. That is correct.
Arteta?
No.
Is this why I didn't play for Everton anymore?
Oh, no. How strong was that drink before?
I don't know. I'm having a good time.
Oh, I feel like he may have done like a Boilermaker or something, like, you know, put a few shots in there. Terry, what do you got?
Leon Osman?
No.
Yes. One wrong.
There you go.
I can't believe there was a was he injured, because there was a match at this time and he didn't play. God.
Yeah, he's not even on the bench.
Really? So. He must have been violently ill.
All right. Any others? Other players that played that day?
Fellaini.
Anybody? Fellaini did not.
Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill did. Yes. How about right back?
I'm gone.
D'Antoni of Hibbert.
Yes, it's Yeah. Him and the gigantic fish he had caught that day started, apparently. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4 more starters, and only one sub came in for that one. Who?
Pienaar.
Pienaar, no. Any guesses as far as... what were you saying?
Sorry, I was just saying Louis Saha.
No.
Yakubu.
Yakubu, yes. Yes. And you know what? He actually scored. He had... apparently, we fed the yak that day. Yeah, 64th minute. 3 more starters and 1 sub that came in for the yak.
Kevin Morales?
No, sir.
Jeff Robo?
No.
Interesting. Darren Gibson?
No, sir.
Oh.
Toffee Blues Quizmaster John, this was a doozy, I'm just saying.
James Vaughn?
James Vaughn was on the bench. Was on the bench.
Okay.
Victor Anichebe.
Didn't play. Anichebe came in. He was the only sub. Came in for the yak in the 89th minute. So 3 more players played.
Oh, my Jesus.
I can't think of anyone now. I'm thinking of players from that era, but a lot of them I remember buying. We bought off the back of selling Lescott, so I can't say anyone like Billy Letanov or anyone like that. So let me think.
Right. I was going to name the rest of the subs that were on the bench, and maybe that would get you thinking about the era. Okay. Is it Gravesen?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nuno Valente.
Oh, wow.
And I believe the backup keeper, is it Wessels?
So we've got the back four, keeper, we've got Phil Neville, centre midfield, Tim Cahill, Yakubu. We haven't got either wing or the other centre midfielder.
Lee Carsley?
Yes.
The other centre midfielder, okay.
Yes. David is slowly finding his role here. I like it. Who'd you say?
Phil Bell?
No, not this one.
I don't know. I mean, I would have swore Pienaar and Morales around 2008 time. Maybe not Morales, but... way too early to be Donovan because the semi-final of the Cup is before January.
Yeah, it's not Donovan. There's 2 more left.
I don't know.
Lars Jakobsen?
No. I'll give you some.
Oh, that era. 2008.
James Coleman
on the right mid.
No. You want me to give you some initials? Would that help?
Yeah.
Hold it up.
JM.
James McFadden?
Yes. And there's one. And AJ.
Andy Johnson? No.
Yeah, Andy Johnson, yeah. Did he go by Andy?
He wanted to be called Andrew Johnson, but everyone called him Andy Johnson.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Everything I looked up, because I thought it was Andy, and everything I looked up said Andrew, and I was like, wait a minute, how's this? What's the deal with this? So I was second-guessing myself. So, yeah. But, apparently... Sean Wright Phillips scored in the 26th minute of that one. Yakubu scored in the 64th. And then in the 90th minute was a Lescott own goal where he headed it into his own net.
Actually, no. No. He was out. Wasn't he outjumped by Sean Wright Phillips that game? That'd be that game. He was outjumped by Sean Wright Phillips and he put it down as an own goal.
Really?
Everyone was screaming as to why Lescott was outjumped by Sean Wright Phillips.
Because everything I saw said that it was an own goal that. So
if you watch, I distinctly remember that game. I can't remember the team or the formation, but distinctly remember that goal of Lescott getting outjumped by Sean Wright Phillips.
Wow. So do not rely on the BBC archives for your information, like, everybody.
I don't rely on me and Teddy to get to see him either.
Yeah, but it's weird. It's weird. I can rely on the interwebs for specifics, but then when it comes to weird situations, you guys beat the internet. So congrats on that. Yeah, I think we got to give Terry the win on this one, despite your tenacity and your big comeback at the end there. I think we got to give Terry the win on this one. Terry, what tune do you want to wrangle out to and put this out?
Bear With Me.
I don't know that one. Who does that? Yeah. Ah, I'm 41 dad jokes. All right, so... Yeah, it's weird. Every time I do that voice, it sounds like Bill Cosby, and I'm like, nope, can't do that anymore. Nope. Nope. Don't even try. What hair band are you bringing us today?
I'm going a bit later down the line. Really? 90s time.
So Ricky Martin, right? The idea of Terry doing Ricky Martin sounds like... You know, it's the idea of having an oral bowel movement. Just, you know, it doesn't seem right.
I'm going to go with The Offspring, Hit That.
The Offspring, Hit That. I know a decent amount of Offspring, but I don't know that one.
You'll recognize the video. It's got like a weird animated guy on a bike. It's one of the like 2002 like ones. It's not like... It was a hit. You'll hear it and you go, oh, that.
Yeah.
And the
dog.
I just. Yeah. Yeah. That one.
Talking about it as well, yeah.
Yeah. I like that song just because I grew up with my first favourite band ever with The Offspring. And that one, that hit just reminds me of the summer. And I've got an amazing farmer's tan from the sun today. So I'm in a bit of a summery mood. And I actually thought of. All Summer Long by Kid Rock, but he's a piece of shit, so no. he's the worst idiot ever. So I've just gone with one of my summer favourites, which is Hit That by The Offspring. Always makes me like yearn to be out in the sun when I hear it.
Yeah, I bought the one of their albums, I think my junior or senior year of high school, I can't remember, bought the cassette.
Nice.
And it was when the first song I ever heard from them was Come Out and Play, and that was the first time I'd heard anything by them. It got released and I was like, I love that. I listened to it before I played matches. It was on my pre-match mix that I would listen to, and I'd, you know, get pumped up for games and stuff. So yeah,
that would have been a much better choice of song by The Offspring, Come Out and Play, even for the weather and the football and what have you. But yeah, that, but we'll stick with Hit That. But next time it's gonna be Come Out and Play, next time I win.
I liked that album a lot. You know what I mean? It's plus there's some music on there that's very like, hey, I'm not feeling all that great. I'm not always in the best mood. Sometimes I'm down. Kind of music on there, which is, you know, when you're kind of a down teenager, that was kind of exactly what I wanted to be hearing at that time. You know what I mean? So yeah, very cool. All right. So as we are soothed by the dulcet tones of The Offspring, it's time to end the Toffee Blues podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you are not subscribed to the Toffee Blues podcast, what are you waiting for? Yeah, also, if you're like, you know what? I've seen Dave on his channel before. I want to see what he looks like on the Toffee Blues channel to see if they put any like filters on him to kind of, you know, give him mustaches and stuff. So subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel if you want to see. Yeah. If you've been listening and you're like, I hear them talk about these shirts these guys are wearing. Yeah. YouTube channel is where you can see them. All right. You can also see where I need a haircut and a shave. So yeah, good luck with that. So if you want more Dave, Falcon Blues, Grand Old Team, Falcon Blues has merged with Grand Old Team to form a Voltron, the likes of which the world has never seen. So yeah, you should check that out. Yeah, Dave's all over it. They're doing a lot of post-match stuff as well, not just the same videos they've done before. They're branching out. They're working with Adam. There's some good stuff going on over there, so always encourage you to check that out. Yeah, and if you want more Terry, Terry the Party Guy, Sunburnt Terry, check him out on there it is. See, you podcasters, you can't see the sunburn, but I'm sure you can hear the sizzle. So there he is. I'm so distracted by Terry, the look on Terry's face. He was holding his forearm up and he had like this tough guy look, and I can't even think what he's doing that. So, but if you want more Terry, yes, check out the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. They print his words, as is their wont. So check that out. Also, remember, hugs abound for Terry when he hits the streets. This should just be a hug-a-palooza. Yeah, so just saying. I want him to be a well-hugged man next time I talk to him. So there's got to be a better way to word that, Jerry. All right, so I guess that's it. Enough for the podcast. Gentlemen, thanks so much. Dave, thanks for your time, bud.
Aisha, thank you very much.
Good to see you. Terry, much love as always, bud.
Pleasure as always. Take it easy.
All right, you guys. And so let's hope Wednesday goes better than Friday did. All right, we're out. I'm going to throw this note card now. Bye.